Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands.
Amen, amen. God is good all the time. I just want to tell you today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. The song said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. I truly, truly believe that. But I feel now that I am somebody. I'm somebody in Christ. Maybe the world may not view me from that perspective, but it's okay. Because as long as I know that God loves me, he will provide all that I need. I have a new perspective. I have reasonable expectation of human beings, but I have all the expectation in God that he will meet all the expectation through human beings for the plan that he has for my life. Hallelujah. Again, I'm Brother David, and my favorite scripture is Proverbs 4:20-22. For my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. This is a powerful day for me, because I'm pressing hope against hope. I'm pushing my faith a little further than I usually push it. In other words, I'm stretching it. I had a major fall, and I went into the doctor. They told me, well, I didn't knock it out, my shoulder out the socket, but I tore the tendons again, tendons and ligaments again. I've had surgery on my shoulders when I was in the military and had a helicopter accident, and so here we are again. But I was going to bypass the day doing the show. But the Spirit just kept egging me and kept pushing me and say, go forward, go forward. You're a soldier in my army, my army. See, in the military, we didn't care if we got hurt. We just wanted to get back in the battle. Well, today, I wanted to make sure that I was following the Holy Spirit and get back in the battle. So I'm here today. I'm going to do my best, press on from the medication, press on from the pain, and we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep walking in faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I always like to open up by starting with the salvation prayer. I was thinking about the salvation prayer the other day, and I thought to myself that how important it is. Because it is the beginning. It's like walking into the door. They don't keep gold bricks in Fort Knox anymore. But it's like walking into Fort Knox. You got to get past all these things. But once you're in there, there's that gold. When they used to have that gold there. And this is the golden opportunity right here. The golden opportunity for us to begin to develop and grow and become who God intended us to be when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. Not only am I going to just pray for everyone. I'm going to bring into the prayer of salvation as well, because to me it's the most important thing. It was the beginning for this new life in Christ. Now, I went my own way. Still, I went this way, that way, back and forth. And I share these things, as I was telling some young men the other day. I don't share things with you of my past to boast and brag. I share with you because I want these life lessons not to be your life curse. If I can save you 20 years of unnecessary, you're one step ahead of the game. So I know that it's so important when you're in the struggle of your life. Having God in your life makes this no longer a struggle, but a strive. You're striving. You're moving towards the mark of perfection, towards maturity. I was telling someone the other day, I just wish they'd take perfect out of the dictionary, and we just go with what God means by perfection, because man's meaning of perfection limits us. It limits us. It's put us in this box of unrealistic expectation of ourselves and others. But once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he gives us that true reality. See, he tells us to think on those things that is true, that is honest, that is just, that is lovely, that is pure, of good report, that has virtue and praiseworthy. These things we have to move to think on, not the way the world has conditioned us to think on these negative things that prevent us from maximizing on the potential of what God has for us. So, Lord, right now I just come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for letting me push forward, Father, walking by faith and not by sight, taking that seed of a mustard, taking that faith the size of a mustard seed and moving forward and trusting in you. Truly, when I talk about faith, Father God, you know you gave me this acronym, full assurance in the heavens, full assurance in you. I could not let my physical limitation prevent me from being able to do what you called me to do, is to go into the world and share the good news about you. So I thank you, Father God, that you've given me the Holy Spirit to press me, to egg me on, and to push me forward, not with force, but with love, because he wants me to share the love that you share with us every day, the good news, the gospel. Father God, I pray for everybody on this line, whether it's one or 1 million. Father God, I pray for everyone, because I truly believe and have saw in my little life and my limited experience that, Father God, it was the ones and twos that changed the world and the rest followed. Father God, I'm praying for that one to go forward, to go forward and be the difference that makes a difference. Father, he'll be or she'll be the difference in somebody's family. He or she will be the difference in somebody's job. He or she will be the difference, Father God, in somebody's community. He or she will be the difference in somebody's life. The day they thought they were going to take their life, that one person, Father God, helped them to turn in another direction. The plan you have for our life. I thank you, Father God. Oh, I just praise you, Lord. I just praise you, God. I thank you. I pray right now, Father God, if anyone is struggling right now in any form or fashion, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relational, financial, social, community, I pray right now, Father God, that they be set free. Set free, Father God. You tell us that if we keep our mind on thee, you will give us that perfect peace because we trust you. Let them begin to trust you, Father God, and let us continue to be on the continuum. To trust you. Yes, life is going to bring its challenges. It's going to bring its woes. I was telling a friend today, I know, God, that you don't know what today is going to bring, but you do. And even when you bring it, Father God, you, if we walk with you, you'll give us all the tools, all the resources that we need to be victorious in whatever situation we are in. I pray for everyone right now, Father God, that they be victorious in whatever situation, circumstance they are in. This is a golden opportunity. For those that don't know you, Father, pray right now. They confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus was born, Jesus lived, Jesus died, and he ascended to the right hand next to you. And he did this for the remission of our sins. He sacrificed his body on the cross that we may die to sin and live unto righteousness. Father God, I'm praying that they receive you, that they're able to begin to put their old life to the past and begin to walk in the new life, the life that comes with the abundance that you promised. And it's not based on what the world says promises, but Father God, what you promise is so much more. I thank you, Father God. So their life will begin to move in a way, Father God, it never moved before. The things that once bothered them, put worry, fear, doubt, or insecurity in them, Father God, it moves them away. So now they walk in faith. They walk in confidence. They walk in trust. They walk in hope. They believe in a future. I'm praying for them right now. I thank you, Father God. I pray that you elevate their spirit to such a level, Father God, as they receive the Holy Spirit, they'll be open as they receive the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power that exists, that they receive from the Holy Spirit, which moved Jesus as he walked the earth, will move them too. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken their mortal body and live in them. I pray this right now. But Father God, let us have realistic eyes that this is a walk. We work out our salvation. You said you would give us long life, Father God, that we begin to know your salvation. I thank you. I thank you for this. If they need healing, touch their body, their every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system. Not only will operate in healthy, lying condition, but every day their body is being renewed like the eagle. Age is not a factor. Only their belief in you. When people look at them, they don't need no creams, Father God. They just look youthful. I thank you, Lord. Men relationships, fathers to sons, sons to daughters, sons to fathers. Father God, I ask you, renew these relationships. Fathers to daughters, daughters to fathers. Renew these relationships. Work with the mothers, Father God, that they show the love, the compassion, the nurturing, Father God. And let parents parent together or co-parent, but let them parent, Father God. Train them, the child, the way it should go, so when they get older, will not depart. We want to see things change, Father God. Let us look in the mirror, Lord. I'm praying that we recognize that reflection and begin to look and see the heart and mind of Christ in it so we go forward victorious in you. Lord, as I go forward, let me decrease, and again, let the Holy Spirit increase to give me the words and bring all things to my remembrance of what you want me to say today. I thank you for hearing my prayer. I thank you for listening to I thank you that this prayer will not fall on the path and the birds will take it. I pray, Father God, will not fall into the rocks and get, and Father God, not take root. I pray, Father God, it will not fall into the thorn and, Father God, to get choked out by the cares of life. But I pray that this prayer, by faith, Father God, will fall into the good soil to produce the 40, 60, 80, 100-fold return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm just thankful that God is using me. I love the fact that God has allowed me to be a servant leader. I just love it. I love it with a passion. I love it with the fact that this is my opportunity to be used by God. It becomes my focus, my priority. Each day it seems to enhance itself. I used to have a black and white TV of light. Now it's been enhanced by the colors of God. His word is now giving me that vision to go forward and be victorious in him. No matter what my body feels, no matter what the world feels, it's what's inside of me now that lives and breathes and moves me. His breath, his strength. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, I always like to share a few quotes, so let me just go over a few here. This one says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. C.S. Lewis, I'm sorry. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It is the belief that God will do what is right. Max Lucado. Faith is unseen but felt. Faith is strength when we feel we have none. Faith is hope when all seems lost. Catherine Plusler. Faith and prayer are the vitamins of the soul. Man cannot live in hell without them. Mahalia Jackson. Faith is a weaponry that's beyond eyes, what eyes see, ears hear, hands feel, and mind experience. It is the spirit of hope the trust and love and the understanding that they are the ingredients for the tongue to bring it all together in this life. For faith is what, when you ask the question, faith, what is faith? Faith is exercising the power of the tongue. Today's scripture says, comes from Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. See, we have to operate, that have to come with expectation. Many times we pray, but our expectation is low. Maybe because of condition, we want to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But this is what the Word tells us. He tells us to have faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. See, we must believe that God exists even though we can't see him. We believe that the air we breathe exists. We believe what the government told us was a virus. We believe this. We believe this. Why can't we believe in God? James 1:3 said, because you know that the testing of your faith produce perseverance. See, as we begin to exercise our faith, it begins to allow us to press forward, to be able to go forward with endurance. Have that bounce back, resilient attitude. You press forward. And 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. I often used to say that courage is not the absence of fear, but going into that which you fear with the courage that you believe you're going to achieve. Going forward anyway. The body in itself comes with a natural innate fear, if you will. It was a survival technique. Or a survival attribute, if you will. So there are some gifts to fear, but it's what I like to call respective fear or reverence fear versus terror fear. And then 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Or as one would say, sound mind. We can use either one. We know that self-control is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So these gifts that he gave us came with a power, and that power allows us through the strong ingredients, if you will, of love to move forward in what we have to do by faith. This allows us, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let me tell you a story. I think it's a good story. I think it will help us, because there are times when we move on our own accord. We think that we know, based on our life experiences, our life challenges, highs and lows, our life, if you will, our education, our associations, we think that we can do everything on our own. Well, let me share this story. This is called Mountain Climbing Faith, so we say. Once there was a man who used to climb mountains. One day he decided to climb a particular mountain and was so confident in his own ability that he didn't even bother to research or plan beforehand. On decision day, he packed up his gear and started up the upward trail. When he reached halfway up, he stopped and had some food and looked over the area, for which he stood and thanked God for everything he had and for giving him this chance to see this beautiful world from this beautiful vantage point. Well, the climbers had tarried a bit too long, and he should have left sooner, but the sun began to set in, started moving in. The man should have rested and continued his journey the next day, but he still continued on his mission. And I understand that, being a soldier, mission first, you just press on. But it's wise, being a wise steward allows you to, in our case, if you're already saved, and use the Holy Spirit to guide you. But if not, you know, there's an intuitive ability, and it should guide you as well. But many times we don't listen. We just go forward. And in our case, we would quench the Holy Spirit, or we would just suppress high intuition intuitions. And because of all the clouds and the height of the mountain, the climber couldn't see anything. It was to this point that he lost his way. In an overwhelming state, the man continued to climb the mountain despite his disorientation and confusion. He thought God would guide and protect him with the faith, so he kept climbing for hours, not sure that he was moving upward, downward, or sideways. He continued to climb throughout the night. It grew colder, and he was just moving on instinct alone. But he believed that faith would guide him through the path. And then while he was reaching out over the overcropped ledge, he slipped and fell, falling at a great speed. He kept falling. In the moment of fear, all good, bad episodes of his life started coming through his mind. He was thinking about how close to death he was getting, when all of a sudden he felt the rope yank around his waist and pull him very hard. He stopped falling, and his body hung limp in the air, if you will. Only the rope was holding him, and in that moment of steel, he had no other choice but to scream to God, "God, help me! God, help me!" All of a sudden, a deep voice was coming from the sky, answering,
"What do you want me to do?"
The man replied, "Save me."
God said, "Do you really believe I can save you?"
Man replied, "Of course I believe."
God said, "Will you do exactly what I tell you?"
The man replied, "Of course, I will do whatever you ask me to do."
"Then trust me and cut the rope tied around your waist and free yourself, and you will be saved." There was a moment of silence. The rope was the only thing which was keeping the man from falling.
The man began to reach and clench tighter to the rope, where he began to feel cold as darkness began to wrap itself around him.
The voice spoke no more.
The next morning, the rescue team reported that the climber was found dead and frozen. His hands were clenching tightly to the rope. He was only hanging 3 feet above the ground.
The moral of the story.
My son used to say to me, "Dad, knowledge is power." And I know he got this quote from somewhere on his journey, for I too had heard that. But I believe knowledge is more potential power, and it becomes true power when we activate it or use it. This, too, is how faith works. We need to begin to allow the power of faith that we claim we possess to really be activated. We have to trust. See, the question is, do we really believe what we say and what we believe in? Can we really trust the word of God, which we say resides in our hearts? Many times life and the power of the words we use don't always manifest. But when we begin to understand how God works in our life, his word does not return void. But if we operate from our own premise, then we'll come up short-sighted. And this is founded on our narrow experience that we are confined by the limitations of the world. Even when God is trying to tell us, as we saw with the gentleman, through the Holy Spirit, what we really need to do is trust and listen to him and do exactly what he tells us to do. You see, the word tells us, Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Have that gentleman listen. Now, he heard a voice. Had he listened to that voice, he would have got the directions he needed to be able to live. Remember, again, God's word tells us, "For it is life unto those who find it, and health to all thy flesh." So you remember that I said that the prayer of salvation was really the easy part when it comes down to turning your life around. But the real work begins when we decide to move into this kingdom living, or to be, as I like to call it, a servant leader. This is where we begin the show again. Walking in strong faith, or believing in your life fears. We're going to kind of wrap this up. You see, trying to become a servant of God is not an easy walk. You know, the more I do this, the harder it seems to get. As I said, I had a fall last night, and then last week I tore my forearm muscle. Well, 2 weeks ago, actually, and it started to heal last week. And I'm like, okay. Now, when I was just buck wild and just living my life any kind of way, it seemed like I wasn't accident prone. I didn't have all these issues. I was fearless. There's nothing I would take on. And if I did, I seemed to bounce back quickly. But since I've taken on this faith walk, there's been one challenge after another, one test after another, and it's always pressing me to make a decision. Am I going to go left and leave God behind, or am I going to go right and follow the right way of God's word? It's always this challenge. And let no one fool you to tell you that this is the easy walk. This is not an easy walk in the sense of how we define easy. Well, it's just laid back, everything fall into place, and it all be well. As my granddaddy used to say, it's easy to die, but it's hard to live. You got to learn how to live. Well, God's word tells us how to live. And I think that acronym for Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. I think that's what it is. So we got to get God's instruction. We saw with this gentleman that he had faith, least so he say. But when the test came, and he was blessed to get an audible voice according to the story, and even then, he was like Peter. Challenge came up, and I get it, because this flesh is always waging war against the spirit. Always waging war. And you have to understand this, because I had a gentleman ask me, as a matter of fact, it was the nurse asked me today, what was God's plan for our life? And I gave him my perspective. I wasn't expecting that. But something was in me so I could give him something out. And at that point, he wanted to keep talking, but he had to do his job because he had other clients or patients in there. But I was amazed that he saw something in me. And then he asked me I have a band on my, two bands, actually, Faith Strong, which gives you the scripture of Isaiah 41 and 10. And he was just curious. But I know that this walk that I try to walk every day, strive towards walking every day, sometimes it's just like taking a long walk. You can walk, you're starting out good. Oh, man, you got a good stride. And I'm a walker. I can knock out 5 miles in no time. I'm a walker. I walk every day. No matter what the weather is, I walk every day. But I walk out there, and some days it's tough. And I've fallen in the knee-deep snow because the ice was under there. But it would not. I say, okay, God, I fell here, twist my ankle. Went, okay, you know what I got to do? It's me and you. But I was in pain. I wanted to just go home. But you got to keep pressing on. You got to press on. You got to press hope against hope. You got to move forward. And this is what those people, as I talked about before, who were classified as the people in the Hall of Faith, the men and women who continue to exercise that strong faith. They were tested in every way. We know about some of them, as I mentioned before, which would be Abel brought more of an acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Yet it cost him his life. It cost him his life. See, we like to believe that once we get into this faith walk, that we're not going to be tested on the death. But that's Satan's mission, to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. And not necessarily a physical life, but destroy everything about you, your reputation, your family, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationship on your job, your community. I listen to people every day. I was telling my mother this yesterday. I say most of the time when people are talking to me, they're talking about somebody else, and they're complaining. So they're being tested. My mother used to always say, don't complain, just explain. That's always been my style. So I was a little boy. Tell you what the story is, tell you what the issue is, and look for the solution to keep it moving. My focus is always solution-oriented. What is the solution? What is the solution? But you have to be trained and conditioned to this. And this is a part of the faith walk. God gives us these instructions that are solution-oriented in order for us to be able to go forward and operate in faith. And as I said earlier, it develops this level of perseverance. You can move forward.
Because as you overcome one obstacle, one challenge, you now recognize that. Remember when I was at Word of Faith, we used to have a faith book for those whose memory wasn't could recall, had the ability to recall, their memory was in question. He said, well, write it down. So if God brought you to last week from almost having a car accident, write it down. And then the month prior, he brought you through the diagnosis, what the doctor said, you had cancer. And then with that, they said it was all clear. Write it down. See, because as you write these things down, it builds your faith. And that's what we want, ever-increasing faith. You see, we recognize this with Noah, because Noah built a large berth to save his boat, to save his family from the flood. But nobody knew what a flood was. Rain hadn't even manifested yet. Operated out of his faith. He trusted God's instruction. Unlike the gentleman we just talked about, he missed it. He missed it. And as he moved forward, he got to see God fulfill what he said was going to happen. His word don't return void. So this, at that point, built a stronger faith for Noah, because he now saw something he never saw before. And if I got the numbers right, it was over 100 years before he got this boat finished. Oh, man, what kind of faith is that? That's strong faith. Then we got to see that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave his home and go to another land, that God would give him his inheritance. How many of us will pack up and just leave? I need you. I had a friend. She was a teacher, award-winning teacher. Now, again, our beliefs are different, but she's still my friend. So she decided, and again, I studied with the Buddha, so she went on and she decided to go to study with them permanently. Left her family meaning her adult children, left her job, and moved forward. She's been there 20-something years. Now, we still talk periodically, and we have different perspectives. I understand her perspective. She respects mine and my faith walk. But just to pack up and move, and she always say to me, you were the only one turned your back on me or didn't mock me, because I don't know her journey. I just thought it was amazing that she had that much faith, whether she was going to serve Buddha, if you will, to have that much faith to pack up and go. And all her family gave her the business, especially her daughters. But they embrace it now. See, they couldn't see the rain. She didn't see the rain. But she believed in what she believed in. That's the kind of faith. And I'm fascinated, because I have a whole lot of people, quote-unquote, that say they're Christians. And I truly believe, I have no reason to doubt them. I don't know. I can't speak on their faith. But what I do recognize is that they'll profess to be Christians, but the type of love that a Christian should show is questionable. But I got friends that still run in the street. They get high in the boot scoop. They get high. They party. They carouse. They do their thing, male and female. But yet, they're the ones that I can count on. Now, I don't know. I'm not Christian brothers and sisters down, but we're supposed to be a different representation. We should have the ability to communicate with each other, relate to one another, that I should have a certainty that I can count on you in the future. Sometimes that's questionable. But I always say that everybody's at a different level, at a different level. Different experiences cause people to do different things. Different rearing cause people to think a certain way. Different cultures cause them to buy into different things. So therefore, their way of conducting and behavior may be different. That's why I say we can't judge to criticize. We should be judging to understand. And that judgment is not a critical judgment. For example, you make a judgment every day. Should I run that yellow light or should I stop? That's a judgment. That's a judgment, a sound judgment. You know, he gave us a sound mind. So it's important that we recognize, again, the power of faith and how God works with us, because we want to make the right judgment. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessing for the future of his son, Jacob and Esau. He had given them a promise through faith. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea, as the ground was dry, meaning that the sea parted and it was dry. Now, these stories sometimes sound unbelievable. But again, as I tell everybody, everything's about what you believe. Because we, in this state, in this point, we can't validate it. I can't say to you, these are my glasses, because I can't hand them to you. You don't have physical evidence. So it has to be based on what you believe. And as you build your belief, your faith will begin to increase, because you start doing the things that solidify your faith. This is why it's so important that we study to show ourselves through the right to divide the word of truth. Divide the word of truth. See, many people say the Bible contradicts itself, but when you begin to study, you begin to eat it up, as Pastor Prophet Teresa say, eat it up. You start to get the right nourishment. You get the check and balance. And now you're not moved by every whim that comes by to you when people try to say, oh, no, it's this or it's that. No, you begin to develop. You begin to mature. You begin to become strong in faith. Strong in faith. This is also important, because these individuals begin to recognize that it wasn't about their plan. It was about God's plan. And through this, you see, these people begin to fulfill the plan he had for them. And that plan will begin to be protective for them, protection for them. It will create that hope. It will build that trust. It will even prevent death among them. And this even allowed God to preserve them, because he loved us and his love never failed. Just like his word never failed. This is the kind of love we're supposed to show. We're supposed to show that people should have faith in your love. I have a friend that word just makes her cringe, because she say people don't follow through. But see, she has a worldly concept of love. And I'm of the nature, when I interact with people, I tell my mom now, I just listen. And I go, I understand. What do I understand? I understand that you have your philosophy, your perspective, your views, your ideal, and God is working through you directly or indirectly to prepare you. See, I look at it when we sit down and we begin to recognize what God's word tells us, we start to see things or what makes sense, why Christ could look at Saul to see him become Paul. Jesus could see Simon to become Peter. It was not what he was looking at before him. It was what he was looking at, what he was seeing later down the road in the future of them, what they could become. This is what faith is about. What can manifest? What could manifest? As he say unto the fig tree and come back later and it's gone. What could manifest? This is why it's so important. And these people, the people who were put into the hall of faith, you saw they did not allow their natural fleshly fear to impede the natural innate component of faith through the Holy Spirit, prevent them from trusting God. As we talked about, this gentleman heard God's voice, but he didn't trust God. He trusted his experience. The scripture tells us in Hebrew, to close out Hebrew 11:39-40, and yet all these people earn a good reputation. What's that reputation? That they walk by faith, not by sight. And maybe not in every situation. This is another thing we have to recognize in another conversation, that sometimes we have to realize in this moment we may not be everything God intended us to be. But the next moment, it may begin to manifest. Just like I see women who go out and build a garden, and they plant the seed. Now, if they went back every day to dig it up and see if it was growing, it ain't growing. But if they plant the seed and cultivate the seed, water the seed, nourish the seed, you know, use the different things they have to help that garden grow. And then in its due season, they see their tomatoes and lettuce and cucumbers and things. But they had to have faith that it would happen. And we don't seem sometimes to realize that. We got this systematic society that tells us we want it microwave now. Matter of fact, we want it yesterday. But that's not how it works. He said, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Even if not, they believed. And they still got the promise because they got to be with God. Since I told the gentleman this morning that one of the things we now need to recognize, since you asked me that question, is not to spin our wheel trying to put all our treasures, build our treasures here on earth, but prepare for the treasures in heaven, that which will not mold and rot and rust and all these things. That's what we should build it for. And yes, there'll be a time when God's glory will be all over the earth. Till then, we need to be preparing. We need to be like the bridesmaid preparing the oil. So then the scripture tells us in Galatians 5:16-22, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. Now, I know that's very difficult because, again, what is the spirit? The Holy Spirit, what is he talking about? What do I do? I don't see a spirit. I don't feel a spirit. What is he talking about, especially for us who are just kind of getting into the real root of the word? But this is where faith comes in. And as you begin to grow, as my walk personally, every day that I can go and not fall short to my addiction, every day, that's a great day. And the days become months, and the months become years. That's a good day. Does my mind still race? Absolutely. Do my eyes still lust? Absolutely. And I like to be able to stand before people and say, oh, man, I got this down to a science. But anybody know anything about addiction? And I like to say everybody got an addiction. You know, I remember in the clumps, a man said, women be shopping. Addiction. Spending money you ain't got. Your family suffering because you at the casino. I'm not knocking anybody to go. That's not my thing to knock you. I'm saying you're losing control. Everybody got it. My mother got addiction to coffee. I had a buddy, well, that's the thing in the Army. They could drink pots and pots. I had a friend who had addiction to Mountain Dew, my pastor presently, who had addiction to Coca-Cola. We all got some. I remember Pastor Bishop Butler said he had addiction to hot sauce. See, we all got something to battle with. But see, we have to recognize that for the flesh lust against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do these things that you wish. But if the spirit leads you, you are not under the law. If the spirit leads you by faith, we don't quench the Holy Spirit by faith. And again, I want to emphasize, because I'm closing this out, I want to point out these areas about strong faith. Strong faith has an assurance of God's promise. It's not about keeping our fingers crossed, I hope you do it. This is about trusting in God. That full assurance in the heaven. Trusting God. Trusting him. See, we, as someone had a song, looking for love in all the wrong places. We trust these other people. Go to the club. Go so you can meet somebody in the supermarket. Trust this business. Trust this network market. Trust this lawyer. Trust this. We trust so many things. But when it comes to God, he's the last on the list until we're in a pickle. We're in a vice. Trusting, having that strong faith is about trusting God with all your mind, heart, and soul, your mind, will, and emotion. This is what Jesus did, as I understand the story. And I like to use the word, not capital I, case I. Strong faith is a sacrificial life. Yes, every day I'm sacrificing, but obedience is better than sacrifice, but I'm still sacrificing. Sometimes I can't leave my home. I can't leave it. Because I know what's waiting on me outside the door. I'm not walking in fear. I'm walking to try to be a wise steward because some things are badder than you. It's badder than you. It's bigger than you. But some people's arrogance is so strong, they go out this over, nothing going to get me. Nothing going to get me, but that's what Samson said too. And he was strong. But something was bad. It was called Delilah. She was called Delilah. Badder than him. See, had he listened and been led by the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have took that fall. But he was like that gentleman in his own ability. He thought he could do it. He had faith in himself, but never lost sight of faith in God. And he drew it back in the end when he stood between the two pillars and said, God, give me this one last time. And that's like that gentleman. God, save me. Peter, save me. See, we got to put God first to the best of our ability. I like to tell people, you can always do this, but that would be a straight lie. I've learned about human beings. They can't do nothing always. We can't do it always. We can't do it every time. And I can test that theory if we need a physical evidence, because I can tell a person, stand here, and I want you to shoot this weapon, and I want you to hit that target at 300 meters every time, center mass. I don't care. I've had the best of the best. That could shoot and hit a fly at 300 meters and hit their wing off of them. But not every time. Not always. Only God can do it always, but we can keep striving towards it. Strong faith is on a continual investment, planting the seed. You have to continue to invest in your faith. That's what I said. You get your faith book. You keep reading things, the scripture about faith. You keep reading other help aids about faith. And then you begin to pay attention to how God has done things for you with intensity, with that focus, that laser focus of what God has done for you in the past. Then your faith will continue to increase because you will be able, he brings things to your remembrance. You'll be able to look back, he brought me from this. He helped me beat cancer. Let me run down my things. He helped me beat cancer. He helped me get over the loss of my daughter. He helped me to be able to help raise my children. Both of my children are special need. People have broken for this. Broken for this. He helped me to do 37 years of military. He helped me when I thought I was going to be homeless after the military. Faith. He helped me when I got hit by a car and severed my own tongue. And I talked for a living. He helped me when we had no insurance, and they went on and took care of me anyway. I lost my sight in my right eye, and he gave it back. Both legs were broken. And my mother told me, Mama, I'm going to die. It looked like it. I'm just a kid. I think I was 6 or 7. I can't totally remember now. It looked like it, but he helped me. He helped me while I was in a car accident because I was out there getting high, fell asleep under the wheel, and the car blew up. But he rolled me out the car. That day I didn't have seatbelts on, but he helped me. See, God is always there helping us, saving us. And he even helped us when we're in our foolishness. See, that's the faith we need to recognize and remember what God does for us. Strong faith obeys in the hard time. See, that was a hard time for that mountain climber. Hard time. You hanging lean. I've done a little wall climbing, and sometimes you get the harness, and you just hang in there. But all he had was his harness, and he hang in there. That's hard times. And he said, do you trust me? Will you be willing to do what I say to cut the rope? Do you have the faith to cut the rope? And again, strong faith, always trust God. Trust God first. So what does that look like? You trust him because every time you open your mouth, you know he exists because you didn't create your breath and strength. God did that. See, we love to entertain trusting the officials, with the entertainers, the people that's rich. We love trusting them, and they don't, as I always tell people, I don't get too wrapped up. My son is in politics. I am not. I recognize the importance of it, but let me give you, as I told my son, I said, son, you know what most people vote? They vote out of emotion and recognition. They don't vote out of research. If I ask the average person, tell me about that candidate from the beginning to the end, because this is the person that's making the laws for you. These are the person that provide the resources for you. These are the people that's supposed to make our life peaceful. But when I ask people, tell me, who you voted for. Tell me about that candidate. Tell me what he was like when he was younger, she was younger. Tell me. They get a little card, and they see their little credentials there, and then they hear somebody, yeah, I'm going to vote for this person. I'm voting for her. And next thing you know, they go in there and check the box. But that's faith. You have a faith in a person. Why wouldn't you have that kind of faith in God? Because truly that's blind faith because it's out of ignorance because you don't know the person. And I've done my due diligence to validate that point. Now, I know everybody ain't like that. But people say, well, I research. Well, tell me about them. It's like going to service. They go in there and hear the word of God. When they come out, say, well, how was service? It was good. Tell me about it. It was good. Oh, man, the pastor was on fire today. Okay, well, tell me about it. I go into church. I see very few people taking notes. And see, I know the retention of human beings. When they're in a meeting, right off the top, when they walk out there, 30% is gone. 30% of your retention is gone. And then you go do your destination, you down almost to 40%. And by the end of the day, you got 10% left. And they can't even tell you the 10%. This is not a judgment to criticize. This is a judgment to understand how we are as human beings. Because I've done the same thing. But I recognize the importance of doing our due diligence. This is how we begin to trust God. Because as we trust God, we get to want to know more about God. As we get to know more about God, he comes closer to us. As he comes closer to us, and because we're drawing near to him, we can build that trust. It's just like a relationship of a husband and wife. The more they spend time with each other, the more the trust begins. Because they get to know each other, not of each other. This is why so many marriages fall, because they knew of the person, but they didn't know the person. I'm guilty of the same thing. I say nothing when I speak that I haven't experienced myself, because I can better be the authority of my life than your life. But I see it through observation. I see it through participation. I see what we do as human beings. So we got to wake up, because if we really want to grow up, we got to wake up. Got to get out the bed of life and start moving towards the mark of perfection, spiritual maturity. We have to trust God. Strong faith is trusting God to do the extraordinary. Take the ordinary to help them do the extraordinary. God done that with every person we read about. Because if you go, you know, I'm fascinated by us, because we make judgment on everyday people we meet, but our belief is built on the people of the Word, and if you go and dissect their lives, these people would throw up from the flow up. They have questionable lives as well. Jesus did not go pick all the right, perfect people. They all had issues. Why? Because human beings have issues. We have problems. Life is problem and solution. We should be more solution-oriented than problem preoccupied. Faith allows us to get out of the problem mindset and to the solution mindset. And that solution should be the plan that God has for our life, because he the one got the plan. And this strong faith begins to trust in God rather than man. Rather than man. So as I bring this to a close, it is imperative that we all continue to study God's word. And we get it different ways, through song, through services, through interaction with others of faith, iron sharpen iron, studying God's word. And again, don't try to take the elephant on all at once. If you read, like now I'm working with a new gentleman, he's sending me each day a scripture from Proverbs. Pearls. Pearls. This is helping him to evolve and grow. And as it helps him, as I told him, as it helps him, it helps me, because we're exchanging. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more repetition we exercise, it will begin to be the mother of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and ability of discernment. Don't I see anybody make the best cake when they first do the first one. But with repetition, they seem to evolve and grow, and that cake tastes so good you got to take your shoes off and dig in the carpet. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. And then the scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast in all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Life is going to do what it do. That's the nature of the beast. As I told the young man, from the fall to Jesus' return, life is going to do what it do. But why it presents itself in such different ways, good, bad, or indifferent, let us learn, as Paul said, to be content in all ways. To be content and rest in the ideal. And my dad, I remember my dad's friend, used to go back and forth about contentment and satisfaction. See, we don't want to be satisfied because we get complacent. We can be content, but we keep moving. I'm cool, but I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving. This way, we're truly moving to build on our faith, to develop that ever-increasing faith. So I hope that what I shared about developing that strong faith, instead of believing in your worldly or life fears, it has some relevance to being a difference that makes a difference. But as I always say, I'm a servant leader, and I'm flawed like any other human being. But I don't say that as to say I'm broken. I say that because there are questions that I, too, have to work on to get the solutions for my life. But what I do know and what God has given me to share, I'm going to share, and then you test it. You test it. Because as you tested, God, I believe, as he's done with me, for people to share with me, he showed me, okay, you need to look at this, you need to put this on the back burner, and you need to throw this out. Don't throw the baby out the bathroom, but throw this out. Because then it started to get that purified water, as I like to talk about, that cool water that will nourish us and help us to grow. So as I close out on my latter part of the show, the soldier perspective, having the sight of faith and not the vision of our limitations. As we read and studied God's word, we began to feel this confidence that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. At least that's how it seems. We talk the talk. We walk the walk, we look the look, but when challenges show up like Peter, we look at our circumstance or ways of life, which cause us to drown in our fears and not be lifted up in our faith. This week, let's not be like the mountain climber and not listen to God. Even if we are to die, which all men is appointed to do, we still win because this is where our real better life with Christ begins. But until then, let's strive to walk in strong faith and not in our life fears. Scripture tells us, then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. John 20:29. Let us walk by that faith and not by sight. Remember, out of Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Remember, Deuteronomy told us, he knows the plan he has for our lives, for us to prosper and to have hope and a future. And again, the closing is always important, just in case someone came on. The prayer of salvation out of Romans 10:9, that you say to the Lord, Lord, I believe in my heart that God sent you to save me, raised you from the dead, and that I could be saved. That I'm renouncing my old life that Satan had put before me, and I'm turning to you, Father God, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I receive you into my heart and soul. I thank you, my old ways are passing away, and all things becoming new. And I accept you, Lord, as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And then always in pardon, I love to be able to share that it's so important that so many dynamic ministers and teachers and prophetesses and prophets and bishops and different folks that can give you the tools you need, the weaponry you need to be victorious in this life, in this life. And victory doesn't look like everything is going hunky-dory for you, because any victory we have in war, there's always another battle going to show up. But it teaches you how to battle. It teaches you how to use your weaponry appropriately. This is what all our dynamic teachers and instructors will do. So, again, check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Send your questions, your concern, your prayer requests there. You can contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry. I was at a church Sunday with my son, and I was thinking to myself, man, people shout louder than this at a football game or a boxing match or a concert, but we so pious in church. Well, I'm not going to be pious. I'm going to speak out because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But we have to keep the gospel going. So remember to give at www.giveify.com, GiveLify.com. You'll be glad you did. And always in pardon, you pray for me and I pray for you. And let us watch the amazing, great things that God would do by faith. And remember, you only need a little bit, the size of a mustard seed, to move them mountains. See, that man had exercised that he had to climb that mountain. God could just move it out the way. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. I am honored and privileged to be able to do this. Thanks for listening. You have the best week ever in Jesus' name. Have a good day.